Our study tonight is in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, relying on the perpetual provisions of God's guidance and His supply. We believers often hear of the importance of listening to the testimonies of elderly Christians, people who have walked with the Lord for many decades, because it's always refreshing to hear people who have seen the Lord work over the long haul, have seen Him work decade after decade and come through. I heard a tape one time of a pastor who had pastored for 50 years. He'd been in the ministry for 50 years. And it was wonderful to hear his testimony of the faithfulness of the Lord. And I was very encouraged. I think Dave Jensen, many years ago, played the tape for me. It was wonderful. Well, in line with this emphasis, God revealed in Leviticus chapter 24, 1-9, in view of its wider context, how important it was for the believer to rely on his provisions of spiritual guidance and provision, and that on a perpetual basis in every generation, for every need. So what God's interested in is not just listening for us to listen to how the great saints back in World War II lived by faith or before that. He's very interested in how we're doing it now, in our generation, today. And that's what this passage is dealing with. I'd like to just look at the context before we actually get into the passage, because the context is almost as important as the passage itself. This context is dealing with the olive oil goes into the lampstand of the tabernacle, and the showbread that goes on the table of showbread. Now, this seems at first glance to be way out of place, because Moses had talked about the lampstand and the table of showbread way back in Exodus. And this is basically a continuation of that. So, at first glance, it looks like it's way out of place. But there's a reason why God put it in the particular context that we have, and I noticed that. A close look at this context reveals the great value for its position. We've learned back in Leviticus chapter 23, the chapter that we've just covered, that just before this Leviticus 24 instruction addressed Israel's weekly and annual feasts to predict her history relative to creation, Christ's redemption, the church, the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. In other words, Leviticus 23 that occurs just before this, future events and God's dealings in history. All right? A reference to sabbatical year rest. In other words, every seventh year there was supposed to be a period of rest. Now, that occurs every 7 years. Most people would see, let's say in our lifetime, would see maybe 10 of those on the average, 10 of these sabbatical years, living, let's say if you live for 70 years. And then, after that, in Leviticus 25:8-55, you would have the year of Jubilee. Now, the year of Jubilee occurred every 50 years. I'll never forget one time I was with my brothers and their wives and children, when the dean and I were. And we went down to the boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California. And Dad shared with us he had been there exactly 50 years before, when he was just a boy at that Santa Cruz area. And I thought that was kind of remarkable. We just happened to hit that. Or it might have been the summer. I don't know if it was the exact date or not. But every 50 years. Now, that would normally occur. The Jubilee, year of Jubilee, would occur generally once in a person's lifetime. Very rarely would a person live to be 100 and see two of these. So that's kind of a one-time thing. So, finally, in Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 23, there was an event about a blasphemy by a member of the mixed multitude, a man whose mother was of the tribe of Dan, but his father was an Egyptian. In other words, he was a half-breed. And it illustrates an event where God's people needed to lock the wrongdoer up until they had gained insight from the Lord through Moses on how to punish such a party. The reason was they knew if a Jew had blasphemed God, they were supposed to stone him to death. But they didn't know if this applied to a person who was half-Jewish, because they didn't have any dealings with people who were Gentiles. This man was half-Gentile and half-Jewish. And they wanted to know if this man was living with them in their midst, if the law applied to them. Of course, later we find out that the law did apply. Anybody who is living in their midst, you know, one law for the Jew, one law for the Gentile who was in their midst, if that was the situation. But they needed insight, and this is very important. So if you put all of these contexts together, they speak about one general theme. Leviticus chapter 24, 1 to 9's word on the lampstand oil and the showbread for the table of showbread revealed Israel's need to depend on God's perpetual provisions for guidance and the supply of needs throughout her history for all practical issues. There was this one practical issue. What do you do with a person who's half Jewish and half Egyptian and he blasphemes? That was a very practical need. There had been no precedent for that. Well, throughout our lives, it could happen every 7 years, it could happen every 50 years, it could happen under the major events in history, whatever. Practical issues come up, and we need to be constantly exposed to God's guidance and God's provision to meet these practical needs. So, that's what chapter 24, verses 1 to 9 is. I'd like to read the verse, and then we'll look at the passage. Leviticus 4. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they, notice this doesn't come from the priest, this comes from the people, that the people bring unto you pure olive oil beaten for the light. If you could get the oil by other means, you could crush, you could heat it and boil it and so forth, but this was beaten oil. This would provide the purest oil that would produce the brightest, purest light. So God wanted the best oil possible. That they bring pure olive beaten for the light, olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. That would be the lamps of the lampstand in the holy place. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. In other words, this lamp had twice in the evening, had to be serviced in the morning, so that that light was constantly burning. Very important. It shall be a statue forever throughout your history. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Then you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake, which would be a pretty large, would be like a great big flat bread about this, about the size of a medium-sized pizza. That would be one of these cakes, okay? And you shall set them in two rows, six per row, upon the pure table before the Lord. So you have two stacks, six of these, like six pieces stacked up, six over here. But doesn't have, you know, the fixings on. It's unleavened bread. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row. Now, apparently the frankincense, since this bread was going to be eaten, you couldn't eat frankincense. Apparently they would have these little cups that would have this frankincense in them so that the frankincense would be lit so that the odor of the frankincense would come up before God. That was God's apparent share, and that demonstrated worship of the Lord. Then it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire to the Lord. Verse 8, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. In other words, you would replace the old bread every week, once a week, with this new bread. And since it's unleavened bread, it could stay out there. It's not like leavened bread that we would have. It would get moldy if you left it out like that. But this is unleavened bread, so it's like crackers. It would stay out. And then they would take it. Verse 9, it shall be for Aaron's and his sons. In other words, Aaron and his sons would eat it. They shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire for a perpetual statute. The word perpetual or continued repeats itself constantly in this passage, and that's the main theme. So, the people were required to provide the purest form of olive oil, beaten olive oil, for the perpetual use of the tabernacle lampstand that would always give the highest quality of light. Every evening, every morning, this oil was to service the lamps that they might always be lit. This signified the need for Israel constantly to depend upon the Lord's word for perfect insight into all practical questions that arose throughout her history relative to spiritual matters. Now, Nadine and I have a Bible reading. We have a reading after breakfast each morning. We also have an evening at 9 o'clock we read, and then we pray. You'd be amazed how many times we would have a question that would come up in regards to what the Lord is doing in our lives or a direction we should go. And the next reading we cover, whether it's the morning reading or the evening reading, addresses it. And right now in the morning we're in 1 Kings. In the evening we're in Ezekiel. And I'm amazed. In fact, a lot of times I tell Nadine, I can hardly wait to see what the reading today is about. See what? Sure enough, here he goes. Boom. And there's his comment. And this is what God wants. We need his insight constantly because we are in a world of darkness. We're constantly being exposed to spiritual darkness around us and the spiritual darkness's viewpoint, which often distorts reality, clouds it. We constantly need to get the input of the Word of God to correct that. It's interesting, Jesus in John 15 said, "Now you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you." And he's speaking to disciples who are believers. There's a constant purging that needs to occur in regards to what we think and the ideas that we have, because often those ideas are distorted because of the world that we're in, sometimes because of the sin nature within ourselves, sometimes, who knows. But we constantly need the cleansing of the Word of God. Then regarding the showbread, the flour for this bread was to be provided by the people of God, again, so that fresh loaves could be made every week throughout Israel's history, each loaf representing the provisional needs for a particular tribe in Israel. It's interesting, you didn't have just one loaf. There are 12 loaves. Why? Because it represents each tribe. God was looking out for the provisions of each one of the tribes, whether it was Benjamin, whether it was a tribe of Levi, Ephraim, Dan, Asher, Judah, all of these tribes. He was looking out for their physical needs. Now, the bread often pictures, give us this day our daily bread as the Lord's Prayer. The provision. It could be material provisions for clothing. Could be the food. Could be housing. Could be just anything that we can think of by way of provision. And what's interesting is that this constantly had to be there. God would not tolerate that table of showbread not having it there. He wanted his people to know that he was always looking out for their material provisions. Because as people, we need it. We don't live. If we don't have oxygen, we die in 4 minutes. You know, if we don't have water, we'll die within, I think it's a couple of weeks. I forget how long it is. Food, we have to have that. We need it for our intake. So, pure frankincense was to be put aside beside the loaves, presumably in separate containers, to signify worship to the Lord in line with his provisions of the practical livelihood needs of his people throughout history. Whether it dealt with times of great events, whether we're dealing with weekly events, whether we're dealing with every seventh year, every 50th year, we all have needs. So, the priests were to eat the older loaves at the end of their assignment to the table, signifying the regular provision of God for the livelihood needs of his people. Now, this would act in a wonderful way because the priests were supposed to be teachers of the law to the people. And as they were eating the showbread, you could see a Jewish man come in for the worship and everything, and he might ask a question, and the priest would say, "Well, I'm eating one of the loaves of bread, and this is the loaf that represents the tribe of Benjamin. He's eating the loaf that represents the tribe of Judah. What tribe are you from?" "Asher." "Okay, that priest, he's eating the tribe." And that's a signal that God is providing for you. As he's providing for us, that's representative of the fact that he's going to provide for your need. And the Jew would go home and he'd be encouraged that God would meet his needs. He might be concerned about his crop in the field or the vineyard or the olive production that year and so forth. Well, the priest would testify and God will provide. The table of showbread, it's always there. So, Leviticus 24:1-9 in its wider context reveals that throughout history and in every generation, God's people were constantly, that's every day, in fact, with the light of the lamp, it's morning and evening, constantly to seek the spiritual guidance of God's Word and to look to Him in faith for His material provisions for all of their earthly practical needs. So, may we depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the written Word of God and trust God for all livelihood needs at all times in every generation in all that we face. Can I give you an illustration? Back in the year 2000, Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost, who is now a retired professor, but he does some teaching at Dallas Seminary. He, at the time, was the chairman of Bible Exposition at Dallas Seminary. He was the pastor of both Nadine and me. He knew us before we were married, and during and after the wedding ceremony and so forth, or after the wedding ceremony. And Dr. Pentecost was interviewed in the Dallas Alumni magazine, and he was giving testimonies of why the Lord had led him to do what he did as far as his ministry is concerned. And he talked about the early days of Dallas Seminary. In the early days of Dallas Seminary, they lived hand to mouth in regards to the income. There were many times that they thought the seminary was just about to go under because they were starting, they were looking for support. This is back in the 30s. This is, you know, during the Depression. And often people don't have the money. They're trying to take care of their own food needs before they support not only the church, but even a seminary somewhere. But he said, you'd be amazed at how many times they thought they were going to have to close the seminary in a week or two. But then Dr. Chafer would get up. He was a president of the seminary. And he would announce some marvelous provision from the Lord. The Lord would always come through at the last moment. And there would be this huge provision. And they lived that way for decades. And he says it was a tremendous testimony to those of us who were going into the pastor. Dr. Pentecost went to the pastor for the early years. He says it was a tremendous testimony for us of faith. These men were living examples of faith. And what's interesting is, especially the early grads, when they went out, they were known for teaching people about living by faith. Now, in the later years, they began to get away from that, and there was some critique and criticism coming back to the seminary. Why don't you send us Dallas grads that teach us to live by faith like the old ones? And so they were concerned about that when I was there in seminary at the time. But we believe, in retrospect, God allowed that to occur so that it would be a practical teaching lesson for the students. Because the students, I mean, if the seminary closed, they'd have to go somewhere else for their education. So it was very important to them, but it was profound. But Dr. Pentecost said that made a profound impression on us. And so we learned to live by faith and to trust the Lord. And, of course, they were able to pass that on to us in our era. But this is what God loves. He loves for people to live in utter dependence on Him all the time. So we shouldn't be surprised if occasionally we run into trials of faith where we've got to lean on the Lord for this thing or that thing, or we need Him desperately for advice or guidance in one issue or another issue and so forth. Because that's often God allowing that to occur just to keep us honest in regards to trusting Him. But that's what He wants. That's why He had this lampstand oil section and the showbread section put here, right in the midst of these areas dealing with time. All the time, He wants us to look to Him.